Good morning, Machias Church family, and indeed we are a family. That was very evident yesterday, wasn't it? Yeah. What a day. Oh, yeah. Back to the bad stool. Children's Church. Everybody gets to go to Children's Church that's ready to go to Children's Church. You guys can go to Children's Church if you want. Head on out. Oh, yeah, yesterday it was very evident that we are a church family, and one of our family members went home to be with the Lord. But, well, you know, first of all, Bob, you know Bob, he had a long life. He was 86 years old, and he was just an amazing guy. And so we can look at that and say, you know, obviously it's going to create a loss, and it's a hole, and it's a hole that's never really going to be filled, because there was nobody like Bob, and I don't think there's ever going to be anything like Bob, and I'm not sure if we could handle another Bob. Somebody will fill some of those gaps, but one of the things that Bob did was he was just there for everybody all the time, and so we had that, and we talked about that in the time that we were together, and there's a thing called a eulogy, and Jeff read it there and had some things to say about Bob, and you know, it's kind of interesting when you get to the end, right? You get to the end of your life, and every single one of us is going to be the object of a memorial service, unless Jesus comes back, right? And so you get to that point, and people say nice things about you. They don't talk too much about the knuckleheaded stuff that you did. And Bob did a bunch of knuckleheaded stuff. There's no question about that. But it was nice to be able to just honor him. And we talk about it, and we remember in that eulogy and in the time that we shared the things that Bob gave to others and how he spent the majority of his life investing into the lives of other people in a way that would be honoring to God. Now, I mean, he was there and he was doing stuff. I mean, he helped me. I helped him do some things, you know, as far as like maybe yard work, or, you know, if he had an object or a project that needed to be done. How many of you, you know, if your car broke down, ever called, you know, especially Pat, but but Bob would jump in and say, hey, if you need help with that, I'll do that. And so we see that Bob not only believed in Jesus Christ and accepted him as his Lord and Savior at an early age, you know, relatively early, but he also lived the life. He lived the life that Scripture then shows us. So this is what I would like you to do. And so part of it, actually we're not going to be in Genesis today, but that's okay. We're going to be talking about Genesis. Will you, this is Bob, because I think I put this at the bottom of the memorial handout there. Well done, my good and faithful servant. So the question for today, will you hear that? Okay. Will you hear that? We see Jesus in a parable of the talents and about the people he gave the one talent and then two talents and then five talents. And talents is not kind of the talents we think of today. It is money. And it was actually about $800,000 in today's money, one talent. Okay, so it's a big bunch of money. And what are you going to do with those? And so there were some that did well with them, and then there was one that maybe didn't do as well. Although, having read that parable, there's about 10 versions I've read over my lifetime of what that parable was actually supposed to mean. Won't go into that. But nonetheless, the master said to the one who was a good steward, well done, my good and faithful servant, well done. And so I got to think that when Bob went home on Wednesday, May 28th, he heard those words. Because Bob didn't just accept Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. He lived the Christian life in service to others as an example of what God wanted his people to be. Now, was Bob perfect? Come on, you can be honest. No, of course he wasn't. I mean, none of us are, right? But Bob had so many of the other things, right, that he was actually doing in investing in people, that he was a real soldier in God's army. And he checked in and said, okay, Sergeant, what do you want me to do today? And so that was a life. And so Bob raised the bar, and I got, you know, I had some conversations with people yesterday. I don't know that I can ever attain what Bob did. You know, all the way up and probably until he had that heart attack, which I think was on the Sunday before he passed away. I mean, he was calling people, he was talking to people, he was trying to figure out, how can I help you? Bob would say, after I get done here on Sunday, I'm pretty much beat, right? It takes a lot out of me. So I go home, usually I take a nap. But I have to wait. I have to wait because I'm going to get my Bob text or my Bob call. And he always would call and encourage me and say, oh, Tim, here, what a wonderful message. And I just say, well, Bob, I hope lying isn't the unforgivable sin. But he was always there, right up to the end, for people. He was there for me. I talked about that yesterday. And I mean, we could raise our hands and say, I mean, how many of you were really affected by Bob's life and the way he was willing to give himself to others? And we'd see a lot of hands. And so I have no qualms to say, if Bob didn't hear those words, if Bob did not go into the arms of his Savior and see and hear those words, well done, my good and faithful servant, then I don't know if any of us have a chance. But it is a high bar that he set. So here we've been talking about Abraham, right? For the last, I don't know, how many months? How long would we be in Genesis? I don't know. But Abraham is a big figure in Scripture. And I thought it. I can't remember anymore. My brain doesn't work the same. I think maybe I said this last time. If there was a scriptural figure that reminded me of Bob, it would be Abraham. Did I say that last time? I think I did. Yeah, I think I did. So Bob was kind of my Abraham. And so here we were, and we had this memorial service for Bob, and we had the eulogy. And I thought, man, it's really cool if to go back, right? I mean, for people to take a view of your life, there's no possible way yesterday in the couple hours that we were doing this that we could actually, give a total review of Bob's life. But it's nice when you have that at the end, right? It's kind of a review. People go back, and again, they mostly pick on the stuff that was good about you. So we see that in Abraham's life, too. And so I was thinking about that, and I was thinking, well, did Abraham, is he going to hear those same words? And he's clearly one of the great models in Scripture, one of the heroes of the faith, they call him, and Abraham, and how he became the father of God's chosen people in the nation of Israel. And we see him, but he died at 175 years, and he was gone. He didn't live forever. And so, again, I was asking myself, well, I wonder if there was a eulogy for Abraham, and there kind of is, and it's going to be here in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 and 19. So we're going to look at that, and we're going to look at, okay, what does it take? What does it take, and what did people say? The writer of Hebrews, which we don't know, I think it was probably Paul or Barnabas, and they had some things to say basically about heroes of the faith. That's what they call chapter 11 of Hebrews, kind of the heroes of the faith chapter. And so they're going to talk about some things that Abraham did, and I think it's going to give us a good kind of an overview of what does it take to hear those words when you leave this life. Because guess what? We're all doing it. Well, if you could you sit down today and write your eulogy? What would you put in there? And would those things end up providing that opportunity for you to hear these words when you come into the arms of your Savior. Okay, so what's needed? What's needed? So this is kind of weird, a little bit weird, because I put this stuff together, then I read this passage, and I think, well, I hope I'm not just putting stuff in that isn't there, but I think it is. So if we were to go through and say, what would I need to do? What things should I be doing here if I really do want to hear those words? Now, I'm going to go ahead and ask you, raise your hand. How many of you want to hear that? If you don't raise your hand, I'm going to slap you. Okay. Because you know what, we're going to talk about this here in a second, in the very first one. That being saved is the most important thing anybody can do, okay? But there is going to be an accounting in heaven. And so we could just say right now, is it necessary to be a Bob? I mean, is it necessary for me to have those words? Is Jesus going to say that to everybody? Because it does talk about in there, some people are going to get in by the skin of their teeth. Maybe it's the very end. Maybe, you know, if it was the thief on the cross and the moments before he died, he accepts Jesus. Do you think he heard those words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant"? Oh, you were on a cross because you were probably a murderer or a thief, and you came in and you got through, man, by the skin of your teeth right at the end. But the Bible is very clear that it has that God has a plan for our life, and he wants holiness for us because that's a gift. Okay, so when we walk the Christian walk, when we say, okay, I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, okay, my eternal destiny, we're going to talk about that, is it's going to be assured. But then what does he want from me? Is it okay for me to just go ahead and go on and live my own life just the way I kind of was, and just, okay, I got my fire insurance card, I got my baptismal certificate here, God, here I want in. But God says, no, I do have a plan for your life. Even when you accept me as your Lord and Savior and you become one of my children, then I have things for you to do, and if you are faithful in doing them, then you're going to hear, well done. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Now, the Bible isn't absolutely clear on how the reward system works in heaven. I don't know. It talks about, you know, maybe there's more jewels in your crown. Some people say that. You know, are there going to be better places in heaven? Now, we see in this parable, and I know this can be taken out of context. Okay, I'm going to give you charge over these many cities because you had this many talents and you gave me this much return. Oh, I'm going to put you in charge of this many cities more because... So are there going to be things like that in heaven where God's going to say, well, you did really well? I don't really know. Okay, but the Bible says there is going to be an accounting when we stand before Jesus. And how did you use the talent, not necessarily your talent, but how did you use the resources that God made available to you, that God created within you? And if you're a believer, each one of you has the Holy Spirit, which has all kinds of powers to give you and work through you the fruit of the Spirit. Are you allowing those fruits to work in your life so that people can look at you and say, yeah, that guy's a Christian? And yeah, look, he's investing in people. And yes, he loves people. Yes, he serves people. Okay, so there is going to be somewhat of an accounting. I don't know exactly how it'll end up. But I want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. Not based on the fact that, yes, I accepted the free gift of salvation, but that I took the opportunity that God provided when he gave me his Holy Spirit and said, now you are a slave. You're a slave to me, and I have a job for you to do. So we look at that, and we can see that. So here they are. I have these five things, and they're going to all come from Hebrews chapter 11. First thing, you need to be called, chosen, and saved. Okay, so here's the deal, folks. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you aren't going to hear those words. I don't think Satan is going to say that to people that came down. Well done. No, there's going to be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Okay. But you're not going to hear those words if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's what the Bible says. And Jesus goes on to say, and I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. So there's not multiple ways, people, that's it. And so if you want to hear those words, if you actually do, when you go to heaven, not everybody's going to heaven, no matter what people tell you. If you want to hear those words, the very first thing is you want to be called, you want to be chosen, and you want to be saved. Okay, then secondly, you have to have the perspective in your life that you are not really an owner anymore, that you are now a steward. Your life no longer belongs to you. Your talents no longer belong to you. Your time no longer belongs to you. The things that God has given you as resources no longer belong to you. They belong to God, and He wants you to use them for His goal, His plan. Okay, that was Bob. That was Bob. You need to have faith, patience, and trust. You need to have faith, patience, and trust. We talked about this, and we went through the story of Abraham waiting for this kid to come, and we're going to talk about that. And, you know, so you got to have patience. You got to believe in God. You got to trust in God. You got to have faith. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Do I want to please God? Yeah, I want to hear those words. Well done, my good and faithful servant. And in order to do that, I have to please God, and that takes faith. The Bible's very clear about that. Faith is going to be an amazing and crucial part of your walk with God in the pathway after you accept Him as your Savior and before He comes to take you home. Then you have to truly desire God's will and plan for your life. See, we can say, well, I don't mind doing God's will. I don't really like it. It's too hard. No, no, no. God says, I want you to desire it, which is part of the faith thing, right? The part of the faith thing says, I trust God's plan enough to know it's actually the best thing for my life, even when it doesn't seem like it. Should I follow God? Why? Because it's the best thing. Should I go and do those hard things? Should I sacrifice my own self and put all my time into the life of others? That doesn't seem like it's a fun thing to do. That doesn't seem like I'm going to get rewarded for that. It's not going to meet all my needs. And God says, oh, yes, it will. Because when you're doing it my way, believe it or not, even though it doesn't seem right, it's going to be the place where you're going to find the greatest amount of peace and joy and comfort in this life if you're doing it my way. Trust me on that. Trust me on that. I know it won't seem like it. Now, is it hard? I've been with Bob enough to know there's a price you pay when you sacrifice your life to serve God and serve others. Okay, there is a price. It's not always easy. It's not without pain. One of the things I think I probably shared, I was supposed to, I was thinking about it, was how many times Bob and I would go see somebody and then you invite their pain into your life when you're trying to be there and help them. All the trips we took to the hospital, visiting people, all the times, and Bob was mentoring me in that. Tim, you got to do this. Hey, if something's going on, you got to just forget about what you're thinking about and go help that person. There's a cost to that. But you have to truly desire it. You can't just say, okay, I'm willing to do it. I don't like it, but I'm willing to do it. No, no, no. God says, if you really trust me, desire it, because I'm telling you, that's where I want you to be for your own good, for my glory and your good. And then be obedient in following God's plan. And so we're going to go through these things, hopefully quickly, and see, how did Abraham do? So very first, we're going to go to, we'll get there soon. No? Here we go. So let's take a look at Abraham's eulogy there in Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 8, going through verse 19. Let's just see, did he demonstrate those five things that I gave you in his own life? So by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called. Okay, so we know Abraham was called, right? We know that he was chosen by God. He was living in the Ur of the Chaldeans with his father. He was worshiping other gods. He necessarily wasn't a great person. He wasn't a godly man necessarily. God called him and chose him. That's the first step, right? And then God brought him into the family, and he was faithful when he was called. If God had not called him, if God had not saved him, if God had not sent his Holy Spirit into the life of Abraham, we would not be reading about him. We would not be talking about him. We would not be saying, oh yeah, what a great guy. And that's the first step for us as well. If you haven't done that, If you haven't accepted Jesus' free offer of salvation, you need to do it. You can do it today. You can do it right now. Because that's the first step. If you want to hear those words, we are all going to die, people. We are all going to stand in front of God. I want to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," instead of, "Depart from me, you wicked person, I never knew you." Those are the only two options. God took care of this in Abraham, and that was the start of Abram's journey towards hearing those words. So he was called. Now the Lord said to Abram, This is the call we see in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed." We know that's talking about the lineage of Messiah, right? So there's a pretty good plan God has for him. He's saying, "Look, I'm calling you, not only calling you, but I'm giving you some details of what I'm going to do in your life, and you're going to need to be faithful." And so God was calling him, God brought him into the family, and that was the first step. That's the first step for us. We see that in Romans 8, 28 through 30, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. To those who are called according to his purpose. For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son in order that he might be firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. See, Abraham got a calling, and so did you. If you're here, if you've accepted Jesus Christ. And so that was our first step too. And it says right there, "For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. And those he predestined, he also called. And those who he called, he also justified," or sanctified. And justified, them meaning paying the penalty for their sin. So in the same way that Abraham was called, and that brought him into this journey, that's how we were brought into the journey as well. Second, how do we see ourselves? Do we have the proper perspective? We're going to see that here in Hebrews 11, 8 through 10. Okay, so that was the step number two. Do I actually see myself the way I'm supposed to? What is my perspective? How do I view myself? How do we see ourselves in a world in a proper perspective? What about Abraham? How did he see himself? Well, let's take a look here in verses 8 through 10. Actually, 8b. "And he went out, not knowing where he was going." Okay, so here was the thing, right? You have to understand, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your life is no longer your own. You are now a steward. You're a manager of something that no longer belongs to you. And that's what Jesus was trying to make the point of in the parable of the talents is, hey, this, in fact, he called, those were slaves, it says in the parable. Those were slaves. The word was bond slave. And that's what we are. We no longer belong to ourselves, but do you have that attitude? Do you have that mindset? Do you have that worldview when you get up every day and decide, this is what I'm going to do with the time I have today? This is what I'm going to do with the resources that I have today. I am going to give them to God because guess what? They don't belong to me, and they haven't for a long time. And so, God, what I really want to know is, what do you want? What do you want today? How do you want me to use the talents and the skills and the time that you've given me? How am I supposed to be serving others? That's what Bob was asking himself so much of his time, because that's what his time was filled with, was helping others. And so here was Abraham, and Abraham, are you going to understand that now you belong to God? Now it's God's plan, not your plan. And so we see that here in these verses. "And he went out, not knowing where he was going." How many of you have ever felt God leading you to some place and you're like, "I don't understand this, God. I don't see how this is going to end up. I don't understand how this is going to work." Not knowing where you're going. What does it take? Well, first of all, it takes, "Okay, God, I'll do it because, hey, It's not my choice anymore. You saved me. You bought me with a price. I belong to you. What do you want? I don't have to know where I'm going, says Abraham. I don't have to know how this is all going to end up, says Bob. I'm just going to do what you say. And so by faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents. He got there. Maybe that was one of the questions he had for God. God, I have this really cool home and we're doing really well. I got to go there. I'm going to be like camping for the next 25 years. There's no cities out there. There's people that don't know me. They're going to kill me. By faith, he went to live in the promised land as a foreigner with Isaac and Jacob and heirs of him with the same promise, for he was looking. This is his mindset. This is his worldview, because I am looking, now that I know I don't belong to myself, my mindset is I'm looking forward to your city, God. Not my plan, not my world, not my city, not the way I want to do it. God, I'm looking forward now, and I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to go ahead and go. I'm going to leave the Ur of the Chaldeans. I'm going to go up here to Haran. I'm going to go down into the Promised Land. Well, then I'm going to get a little bit scared, and I'm going to go down into Egypt. And he didn't do it perfect, people. Neither do you. Neither did Bob. But we have to have the right mindset. We have to understand it's not our choice anymore. It's God's choice. We see in Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ, for it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I live now in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. See, that is the fact. That is the detail that leads to the mindset that it's no longer my life. Bob knew that. Abraham definitely knew that. Then we see the third one. How about, do we have faith? Do we have patience? Do we have trust in God and in his plan? We see that here in verses 11 through 13. For by faith, Sarah received power to conceive. She was 90 years old. I was going to say 89, but I think she was 89 when she got pregnant, 90 years old when she gave birth to Isaac. That's going to require some faith. And we saw this in the story, right? That's going to require some patience as well. Like, this promise came about 25 years ago, God. When is it going to happen? 25 years. We talked about this before. How many of your prayers are you thinking, God, I've been praying this. There's a prayer. I'm not going to tell you what it is. Pretty much the same prayer I've been praying every day for the last 5 years at least. And so far the answer is, sorry, you're just going to have to wait. Sorry, Tim, you're just going to have to wait. I'm not going to answer that. I'm not going to fix that right now. But do you trust God? Abram waited 25 years after he'd been promised a son. I hope God doesn't wait 25 years to answer this particular prayer, but who knows, he might. But what do I have in the meantime? I have the assurance that God is working all things together for my good, that he has a plan for my life, and that, okay, I know what you want, Tim, but I'm God. I see the bigger picture. I know what needs to be done. I know what's best for you. I know what's best for the object of your prayer. I understand. Are you going to trust me? Are you going to have patience? You guys don't see it probably much here, but I might be the world's most impatient man. That's a hard one for me, waiting. Waiting, and I don't understand why not. So then we see, therefore, from one man, him as good as dead, that's Abraham, were born the descendants. So he had to wait. The promises were out there. The promises that God had were out there, and he's just waiting. Therefore, from this one man, as him as good as dead, He was 99 years old when Isaac was born. Were born the descendants, as many as the stars of heaven, as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. We went back, we looked at that, we see that that was exactly God's promise. I'm going to go out, look at the stars. If you can count those, that's how many people you're going to have. Go into the seashore, see all the grains of sand, if you can count those, that's how many people you're going to have. Now, that was an analogy there. And these men, there's a whole list there in Hebrews chapter 11. Heroes of the faith. All these men died in faith, Abram being one, not having received all of the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. Okay. Do you understand? That is the worldview we're supposed to have. That is the kind of faith we're supposed to have. Hey, you know what? There's all kinds of promises. Now, I had my little promise book. I took it back to my office here. That we know we can count on every day. I mean, God's just saying, hey, I'm with you always, you know, even to the end of the earth. I mean, there's all kinds of things we can count. But some things we're looking at, we say, why, God, is not this available to me yet? Do you trust me? Okay, guess what? You may not, this prayer I'm praying, I may not see that in my lifetime. Do I trust God? Do I understand that I'm an alien here? I'm a stranger and an exile? Because I don't really belong in this world anymore. I belong to Jesus, and I'm waiting for my eternal home, and it's coming. And Bob has seen it now, and all of the hopes and the dreams that he had are now being seen in a much greater way, in a way that we could never imagine when he went to see his Savior. And so we have to look forward to that, and we have to understand, while I'm here, I really don't belong here. I don't fit in anymore. But I have to have faith, recognizing that there is something waiting for me that's going to make all of this worthwhile. I may not experience it here and now. We see that in 1 Peter chapter 1. I give you these same verses all the time. I think they work. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. Blessed be the Father and Lord of our Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, has caused us to be born again. Okay, we were born again. He did it. We are saved. We can then hopefully look forward to hearing the words, well done, my good and faithful servant. We were born to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead into an inheritance. I have an inheritance. I have faith. I have patience. No, I don't, but I wish I had patience to understand what my inheritance is. And that was what Bob had. And now he's understanding and he's seeing what his inheritance was. And here's what Abraham was looking forward to. Inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, and kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. See, I got to wait. I have to be patient. I have to have faith because it's not all going to be revealed to me right here and now. I just have to trust God. How many of you are going through trials? How many of you have gone through trials where you just don't understand why it's so hard and yet God says, trust me? Will you trust me? I love you. I'm sovereign. I'm in charge. And I love you. I know this is hard, dear child, but trust me, you have an inheritance. And I am here and I will walk this with you. And yes, it's hard. But trust me and keep your mind on things above while you're going through the trial. And we see some of that with Abraham. When you look at the story, you know, the story goes on and on. I think it goes on to, I don't know how many more chapters, I think about 8 more chapters. And we're going to see different times when God comes down and blesses Abraham, when God is, you know, Abraham is faithful, sometimes when he's not. You know, we're going to see that coming up when he decides, you know, we saw that with Hagar. And, oh. But we know we have that inheritance, just like Abram. And he had that promise, and God told him, you're probably not going to see it happen in this life. And he didn't. You know what? When he died, there still was no nation of Israel. He still didn't have descendants as numerable as the stars and the sand on the seashore. But did it happen? Yes, it did. I hope. At 175, Abram went to his grave thinking, well, I didn't see it all, God, but I know it's going to happen. So the next one, do we desire God's will or do we desire our own? So we see in verses 14 through 16, for people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a home. Now this is the people that are saying, hey, I'm looking forward to the next one. I have a land. I know it's not here and I'm going to go. Here was the actual representation of that Abram going, I'll go to the promised land, God, which was just, right, a metaphor for heaven. I'm going to go there. It's here now, but I'm going to go there. I'm going to make it my homeland because even though I'm from the Ur of the Chaldeans, that's not my home anymore. Why? Because God's put me on a journey to a new home. Same as you. Same as me. If you accepted Jesus Christ, you're on a journey to a new home. Guess what? They opened the door and let Bob in. Here's your new home, Bob. Been waiting for you. For a long time, Jesus said, remember this, behold, I go and I'm making a room for you. My Father has many rooms. Bob got to check in. So did Abraham eventually. For people who speak this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. For if they'd been thinking of that land from which they'd gone out of, they would have had an opportunity to go back, but that's not what Abraham was doing. He says, look, I know I had this home in the Ur of the Chaldeans, and then I went up to Haran with my dad, and it was nice to hang out with him, and then he died. But guess what? I'm going to the land that God's promised me. I could go back to the other way. But as it is, they desire. See, they desire. As it is, they desire. Do you have not only a willingness to do God's will, but a desire? I actually believe this is the best thing. I want your will. But what if it's really hard, Tim? I don't care. I really want it. Do you? Because it will be hard. Pray for it. If you don't really want, if you say, I'm doing it, God, I'm doing it. I really like it. It's hard. But God says, desire it. They desired a better country. That is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he's prepared for them a city. And then the last one is the obedient one. For by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his own son. Okay. How about if you had prayed for something for 25 years and been promised by the big guy, I'm going to give it to you. And finally, 25 years goes by. You try it on your own with Hagar. Doesn't work. But God finally comes through and he gives you this. And then, okay, now I'd like to have it back. But you didn't see that with Abram, did you? Okay, well. And basically it goes on to say, yeah, here. He considered God was even able to raise Isaac from the dead, which figuratively he did, I guess, because he got him back. So, are we going to be saved? Are we going to accept Jesus Christ? Are we going to walk the Christian walk? Are we going to do it in faith? Are we going to have patience? Are we going to be obedient? Now, the obedience takes faith. It also takes the right perspective, right? How can I, as Abraham, be obedient to God, except I'm willing to say, hey, guess what, God? This kid that you gave me. He don't really even belong to me anymore. He belongs to you. You say you want him back? Okay, I trust you. I guess you're just going to raise him from the dead because you promised me and you gave him to me. You said it was him. I don't understand it, God. It doesn't make any sense. Why would you do all this? Why would you set me up like this and then want me to give him back? It doesn't make any sense, but okay. He walks up a hill with a knife, right, and a son. And the son's like, Dad, what are we going to sacrifice here? I don't see a ram. You think Abraham isn't like thinking in his head, oh man, this is going to be hard. But he does it. He's obedient, even when it may be the hardest possible thing you could ever ask a human being to do, because he trusts God. Okay. Here they are. If you want to hear the words that I'm just totally convinced our brother Bob heard on Wednesday, May 28th. First thing, you got to be saved. Second thing, you got to be thinking about yourself in the right way. I don't really own anything. I'm just a steward of what God's given me. I have to have faith and patience and trust. I really should be desiring God's will for my own life. And I need to be obedient. If you don't have number one, you can forget about the other four. And that's the first thing you need to do. And if you need to talk to me about that, I would love to. But of the other four, which one do you think you're having the most trouble with? Two for me. I mean, I'm trying to say, okay, God, I don't, whatever you want from me, I'm going to try. I'm going to give up my plans. I'm going to try to understand. I don't belong to myself anymore. But boy, do I have a hard time waiting on you. And then trusting when this stuff happens, I don't see how this fits into the plan, God. Okay. If there's one of these points that you can particularly resonate with, pray for it, will you? You want to hear the words, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's the formula from Scripture. If you're having trouble, you need to pray. You need to ask God through the power of His Holy Spirit in your life to give it all to Him and see what He'll do. See if He'll make you another Bob. You'll hear the words we all long to hear when it comes your time. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Let's pray. Father, I want to hear these words. I have issues with a couple of things on this list. I need to give certain parts of my life more fully over to you. I've tried it on my own. I've never been successful. I need to set these things at the foot of the cross, walk away, and allow you to change my life through the Holy Spirit's power. Father, I thank you for the work you've already done. I thank you for the sacrifice you made to even bring me into the family of God so that any of these other things made sense. Lord, I just pray in the lives of each and everyone here hearing this message that they would give themselves totally to you. Maybe there'll be another Bob. And we ask you to do this, and we thank you in advance for how you're going to work. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen.